not as a sign. Sorry that the shadow's all gone. The play for today, but in love with you, small and Hudson and Holt. Gold, yes, this program is gold.
I mean,
not in monetary value, admittedly.
You're not providing a great deal of evidence that this program is gold, I'll be honest with you.
Welcome to the Don't Let's Chat Golden Selection Collection. With me, Ben Baker.
And me, Phil Cattrall, apparently under duress, it sounds like.
And as it's our first anniversary and people love the best of, we've put together a selection of our 52 fabulous years in show business.
Not years.
It's not years. Met all of the years that we've been doing this, back since we were doing it in the 1950s.
If we were doing this in the 50s, I don't think much of your part of the act would have changed. Let's be
well,
fair.
No, but it was like Amos and Andy, is that when they transferred it to television, they had to get actual idiots in. Yeah, it's terrible. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to a golden underpanted edition of Toilet Chat.
Why did you have to bring underpants into it?
I like them. Good on penis.
Shut up. Top 10 Tom Best character. Top English is books. Too many books, too many words.
And this is a programme where me and Phil talk about things and charts and stuff and try to make sense of the world. We used to be two men in the late 30s, but now one of us has ruined it.
I'm in my extremely late 30s.
I mean, 40s. 40 is very late.
It is.
Almost deceased.
Yeah. I mean, technically, right, if the millennium didn't officially start until 2001, I don't start my 40s until I'm 41. I'm still in my 30s, Ben. That's maths.
I hate maths.
Yeah.
So, any maths on today's programme?
I mean, there'll be numbers.
I hope not. You know, don't get too excited. Because then you'd be looking forward to 410, Heathcliff and Marmaduke. Best.
I always forget that Marmaduke was involved in Heathcliff. To me, it's always Heathcliff and the Cadillac Cats.
Well, that came after. I think the Heathcliff series had finished. I've got the wiki page. Yeah, it finished in 1982. The first season was called Heathcliff and Dingbat and featured backup segments with Dingbat and the Creeps, three monstrous characters who worked for Odd Jobs, Inc.
No.
And then the second season was Heathcliff and Marmaduke.
Right.
And featured the lovable Long Dog, who always got on everyone's tits, as opposed to the small orange cat, etc., etc. Do you know who sang the theme tune to Heathcliff and Marmaduke?
Let's see. 1981. Was it some punk?
It was your old pals, Scatman Crothers.
Really? Oh. Yeah. TV's yeah. Jazz from Transformers. That's what I know him for.
Yeah, that's what you know him for.
Not The Shining like you do. No, I know him from Transformers.
Next on the menu at 4:30, it was Galloping Galaxies, which was Bob Block's follow-up to Rent-A-Ghost.
With Kenneth Williams in it as a robot?
Yeah, a computer.
Oh, a computer, okay.
And that is literally all I know.
That's quite late for Kenneth Williams as well, isn't it? 87.
Well, yeah, it finished already. This is a repeat run as well.
Okay. When did he die?
88.
Was it because of Galloping Galaxies?
Did he die because of... Yeah, his last thing was, piss, it's Galloping Galaxies on again. Then his diary.
It was his diary.
Yeah. News round at 5:05.
What was in the news on this day, Ben? Or are we not doing that?
Know. I don't know. I suspect that the stories are probably about La Bamba by Los Lobos being in the top five. Or people playing Arkanoid Revenge of Doe. Why not? Let's say that.
I hope that's what it was about. I hope it was that sort of a news week. Anyway.
And then, because, again, this is the era where CBC had no money at all.
Right.
They were showing Gentle Pet. The story was The Invasion of Willy Sam Gopher.
Pardon?
Mark, who it was played by the wrong-faced Clint Howard, invites his Seminole friend, Jimmy Boy, to go to school with him. But his boy's father, Willy, is angry about his son's contacts to the outside world. So, yeah, that was an episode from 1960. So I was 20 years old, just shy, when that was aired.
That's
and you'll be
terrible.
Sad to know that Bruno the Bear, who played Gentle Ben, died in 1981. Although, let's be honest, it'd be more upsetting if he was still alive.
So this was aired, like, not only a couple of decades after it was recorded, but also 6 years after the principal character died.
Yeah. If you're interested in Bruno the Bear's filmography, he was also in Lassie as Bear, Daktari as Bear, My Side of the Mountain, where he played
Bear.
It was in The Life and Times of Judge Roy Bean, where he played Watch Bear. Gunsmoke, where he played Bear. Escape to Witch Mountain in 1975, which played Bear, but was uncredited. Starsky and Hutch, Bear. Magical World of Disney, Bear. And his last role was in 1980 on Fantasy Island, in which he played Sebastian McRobinson. Sorry, Bear.
Bear. I thought he played Mr. Rourke.
Mr. Rourke, the bear is on my face. Hey, get off my face, you bugger.
That's what Irving Villachie's catchphrase was in that show, definitely. What?
Get off me, you bugger.
But in a Belgian accent. Yeah. 1996, this should have been in the not making the list section, was the year that one of our listeners nearly killed me with fumes by trying to hold a barbecue inside. So, that's of note.
Cool. Good time.
Okay, so this is the 9 worst gravies you can buy.
Oh, worst? Poor gravy.
According to Eat This, Not That.
I'm a big fan of gravy. I don't like the idea of negative gravy. Dissing gravy. Have you got that tattoo? Like that diss tattoo? Like with a line through it saying bad gravies? That's the name of your street gang, isn't it? The bad gravies.
Hell's Gravy is the name of my street gang.
God, I'm hungry. Get on with your list. Number 9.
Great Value Turkey Gravy. You may be mentally prepared for the food coma that's sure to follow your Thanksgiving meal. Oh, it's American. I should have said it's American. But if you indulge in this gravy, you may suffer a throbbing headache too. It then goes on about soy for a bit. It goes on about some acid that's in it, and it goes on about monosodium glutamate. So this is bad because it has things in it. It's bad because of things.
Too many pints of gravy. Stick to 3. That's I say. Stick to 3 pints of gravy.
You don't need more than 3. 3.5.
So tell me what I need. I can quit any time I like. It's just the gravy understands me. 8.
8. Heinz Homestyle Turkey Gravy.
Heinz and gravy are not two words.
It's in a jar as well. It's in a jar. America's weird, man. So, apparently it's made of turkey broth and cornstarch. That's fine. That's safe. No one can take that away from you. However, it's also got caramel colour and soybean oil. This website hates soy. It hates it. Yeah. According to eatthis.com, caramel colour may cause cancer, and soybean oil has been connected to weight gain, in the sense that everything's connected to weight gain if you eat it, because it's food.
Enough of it, yeah.
It's food going in mouth. That's how it works.
Number 7!
Number 7. Campbell's Turkey Gravy. This comes in a can, like it's soup. I don't like it.
Just a plop. I can hear the plop of the tin. 6.
Heinz fat-free gravy roasted turkey. So it's another jar of Heinz gravy, which is it's almost grey in the picture, which I really don't like. It's
Stop getting gravy wrong.
It's got powdered turkey meat in it, which it says just sounds gross. Correct.
Yeah.
It's got disodium glutamate, which is like MSG in that it makes you hungry again. It's got caramel colour in it again. It's just... how are they making gravy sound bad? I don't understand.
Grey gravy is a lead singer in Elbow.
Close. Very close.
Close. Number five.
Campbell's Mushroom Gravy. It's another one in a tin that's got soy protein and caramel colour in it. I really don't like MSG, caramel colour and soy. They don't like those things.
Four.
McCormick Turkey Gravy. So it's a sachet. It's got caramel colouring and MSG in it. It's not... There's nothing... This place has nothing. They've got nothing. They don't like this one because it says no MSG asterisk on the front. And it's not...
Brackets some MSG.
But it's got like a weird sneaky form of MSG. Sneaky MSG. That's... MSG. MSG, as we all know, stands for Metal Solid Gear, and that's how it snuck in.
Three.
Knorr gravy mix. It's got, what's it got in it? Can you guess what's in it?
Has it got caramel?
No.
And some MSG in it?
No. It's got more it's got manufactured soybean oil in it. Sorry, partially hydrogenated soybean oil, which has trans fats in it, which is bad. It's bad.
Yeah, all right, Graham Lennon.
Oh, Jesus. Don't you ever do that again.
Too quickly.
Southeastern Mills Roast Turkey Gravy Mix.
Bob Mills No.
It's got those fats in it again that I'm not going to say the names of again.
Bad fats.
It's got a form of butane in it. TBHQ, whatever that is.
You know when you eat a durian fruit and it tastes like gas fires? I suspect that's not dissimilar.
No, because what I did was I smelt a durian fruit and then went, I do not want to eat that. Because even if it tastes better than it smells, it will still taste bad.
I was tricked. And the worst gravy of all time, according to Ian Zagravier.
Pioneer brand roasted turkey gravy. It's got
Pioneer that do the CD players.
No, it's not them. It's not them.
You open the CD player and gravy gushes out.
It's got fat, caramel colour and MSG in it, and so they don't like it. That's it. That's it.
So, in summary then, just stop.
Yeah.
Just stop. Stop. My dad has just sent me a message going, how do I do a blog?
First of all, Ben's dad, travel back in time 15 years to when anyone wanted to read a blog. Send him a live journal key so he can get...
Beeble.com.
My friend Tom has this thing called MySpace. Maybe you should.
Hams, hams, wherever you will be. Hams of the hams of the hams, hams he. That's my Weird Al style party.
I was going to say that's low effort even for you, that one.
No, it's good, isn't
no.
it? I'm thinking of selling it to him anyway. £3. Because obviously this is ham week.
Yep.
So
everyone's favourite week.
What have you got there?
What I've got here, it's from the West Australian, and it is Rob Broadfield's Top 10 Festive Hams for Christmas Day 2019.
Rob Liefeld?
No, Broadfield.
I'm not doing that.
Rob Broadfield, incidentally, looks like if you microwaved Greg Wallace for about 2 minutes. That's what I would say he looks like.
Oh, I would love to do that. Number one.
Number one is Mondo Black Hog Berkshire Free Range Preservative Free Ham. $26.70 a kilogram.
What's that in real money?
I don't know. Australian dollar. £12.92.
Oh, very
for a kilo.
Very
for reasonable. A kilo.
For a hams.
For a ham.
For the hams. Number two.
Number two is Linton Bat Black Label Berkshire Ham. So we've got another Berkshire ham. This one is $39.95 a kilo, which
That's more money.
It is more money. It is £19.34 a kilo.
Ain't I got better ham? I mean, if I were, wouldn't you buy any, I suppose.
So this is made by one of the characters of the West Australia pork industry, Linton Bat, which is not a name I made up. It's a name in this article. He manages, Ben, the entire ham-making process from the paddock to the finished product.
Thanks, Linton. You did it again.
Linton Bat.
And what you did was ham. Three.
Euro-style bone-in ham. Prices vary.
Don't shag hams.
Oh, again, low effort even for you. That this is a lesson in proper European traditional meat curing, Ben, and I will thank you not to sully it with your knob gags.
Too late.
Oh, don't sully the ham.
I'm sick of myself.
Never sully a ham.
I do have a ham that looks like Sully, the man who saved that aircraft
from... I've got one that looks like Sully from Monsters, Inc.
And relax. Well, I know which one you can shove up your ass.
Oh, Benjamin.
No, I can't use that, can I?
No, you really can't, because that's a Mike Reed joke that you're repurposing.
Oh, yeah. Well, anyway. When it comes to the Golden Gate or Vegemite, I know which one of them you can stick. Up your bum.
You've done it again!
Sorry.
You can't say I can't use that and then just do the same thing again with a pause.
Obviously, we've been all over for these roadshow programs. Have been Disneyland, Narnia, former Yugoslavia, and Del Boy Land. But of course, now I've brought us here, as you already know, to Dracula's Castle. Uh-huh. You said I would love to meet a Dracula, and here we are.
No, I didn't.
I may have dreamt that or drawn it on some toilet doors. I don't remember. It's for a long time. Shut up. So, for this week's quiz, I thought we'd do a lovely Dracula facts.
This could be
now,
fine.
Now, this is an original sort of quiz, but basically, I've replaced a word in the fact, and you have to tell me which word I've replaced.
Okay.
You might have to be a little bit in. You might have to know a little bit about the book and the history of it.
Okay.
We can't all be expecting to learn from
No.
The Vampire Diaries. Is that still a thing? I don't know.
I am not looking forward to this.
Cool. Dracula is the antagonist of the Victorian Gothic horror classic Dracula by Bum Stoker, published in 1897. Which is ridiculous because clocks don't even go that far.
It's Bram Stoker, Ben. It's Bram Stoker.
You're lucky that one.
Yeah, okay, no.
The famously infamous Count is hungry.
I mean, he's Hungarian, I think, is what
you're getting. He's but also hungry.
I mean, he is hungry.
He can only change his underpants at sunrise or sunset.
I mean, that's correct. That's in the book. That's text.
Well, that's what we all do.
Yeah. Is it form, by any chance?
It is form. That is the word I've got written down.
Yeah.
He can only sleep on sacred VHS copies of Gene Roddenberry's Earth Final Conflict.
I believe he can only sleep on, like, Earth from his homeland. Is that the...
Sacred Earth, yeah.
Yeah.
Not even Earth 2.
I mean, Earth Final Conflict's better than Earth 2. Let's be very clear on that.
That's why it's sacred. Christopher Reeve has played Dracula 11 times.
It's not true. He's only ever played Superman and person in Beast Sky B advert. That's the only things he's ever played. No, it's Christopher Lee, Ben.
No, you're correct. The best Dracula film is, of course, Leslie Nielsen in Dracula, Dad and Glovington. There might be more than one word in that one.
Yeah, I think you've changed quite a lot in that one. And I'm not going to dignify it with a response. How about that? How about that?
Of course, the correct answer was the worst Dracula film. Yeah. Is Nielsen in Dracula, Dan and Glummy
Tits. It's not a good film. It's not a good film.
Count Dracula's original name was Cunt Vampire.
What?
All right, Wampia.
I think it's Count and not the word you said.
It was Count. What's Count? Well done. Don't tell Graham Leonard, but his castle is in trance.
No, no.
Oh, all right. One more. Let me have one more.
We'll see.
Dracula can only be killed by a stake through the shithole.
Why? It's not clever. Why am I laughing at it? There's nothing clever about this. This doesn't deserve to be
that's
rewarded.
That's the quiz. Dracula quiz. As we all know from human history, which I've learned in a book, I've seen it. The book was called "Just Shitloads of History." The book. There are three major significant events in the 20th century. Obviously, one was man done a thing on the moon. Didn't right. find out what. That's next week's part work.
Right.
The second one was invention of the hammer.
Okay.
Because without that, we wouldn't have MC Hammer.
Uh-huh.
And three was the sitcom Terry and June, obviously. They were the main three.
Yeah, Michelangelo's David just pipped at the post, too.
Yeah, when was the last time David fell through a sun lounger?
When was the last time David's boss unexpectedly turned up?
If only there was some sort of link on the internet, ranked episode, best situation, etc.
Well,
happy
then.
Guy out.
Well, Ben. So, I've got IMDb's top rated episodes of Terry and June. So the bottom rated Terry and June episode gets 4.5 out of 10, and the top rated gets 7.8. So got quite a spread there. Quite a spread.
Yeah, got quite the spread indeed.
So, but we're gonna start with number 10.
At number 10?
At number 10 is Eye of the Householder, which is series 9, episode
9?
Yeah.
9?
9, the final series. So after Miss Dunwoody reports a burglar, Terry organises a neighbourhood watch scheme. He goes ahead with a meeting of local residents. However, while he's addressing them, a bogus policeman is robbing all their houses, except for the Medfords, which leads, to Terry's arrest before the real burglars are caught. So, that sounds...
So it doesn't just end with Terry's arrest, and then he goes to jail, and,
and then there's
it.
No more Terry and June, yeah. That's...
It's just and June. Sir Dennis and June. Yeah, every sitcom in the 80s seemed to do a Neighbourhood Watch episode.
Yeah.
Indeed, there was a whole Neighbourhood Watch sitcom.
What was it called, Ben?
It was called Wyatt's Watchdogs.
Oh. And
Brian Wilde and that bloke from Are You Being Served?
I don't remember that.
Not that one, the other one. Okay. No, not that one, the other one.
One of them.
It didn't last
definitely.
Very long. Nine.
Workers Unite. This one is from season 2, episode 5.
Was that in the 80s by that point? Because that sounds like a very 70s story.
It was 1980, so still kind of the 70s, really, let's be honest.
As we all know, the 80s didn't start until Roland Rapp was hit with a cricket bat by, I don't know, let's say Duran Duran.
Would you like to hear a description of what happened in this episode, Ben?
Oh, yeah.
So, June gets a temporary job as a market researcher, and Terry feels neglected as she's out of the house so much. One evening, they both book into the same restaurant with work colleagues, unbeknown to each other, and June overhears Terry bemoaning the fact that she's out a lot.
Whoa.
Though initially displeased, she ultimately gets fed up with the job and returns to her household chores. So,
Correct!
So, no. What an incredibly regressive thing this is.
How dare she not be the full provider of all Terry Scott needs?
I mean, what Terry Scott generally needs, I understand, is booze, but that's
booze and French fancies.
Booze and a supply of cars to drive off bridges. So all he did in his late years just drove cars off bridges, just over and over again.
Him and Gordon Kay working as a team.
The police were stood at the bridges saying, "Terry, no, you can't. The river's full of cars." But he
and he went, "I'm TV Penfold. I can do what I like."
He did. He that's what it was. He thought he'd got Danger Mouse's car. That's what happened.
At eight,
The Cowering Inferno. Season 4, Episode 4 from 1982.
Methinks the title came first.
I think it probably did. So, Terry and June attend a firm's conference at a multi-story hotel. Not sure why June's going. They don't work together.
She doesn't work. She's not allowed.
Exactly. She gave up work 2 years ago. Where things do not go smoothly, culminating in Terry having to make a speech in place of the indisposed Malcolm. Certificate U, if you're interested. I've just realised IMDb lists the certificate for... They're all going to be you, although they shouldn't be.
Also, again, I think a party conference was definitely a middle-class sitcom staple back in the 70s and 80s.
So, just for reference, number 10 and 9 on the list were both 7.1 out of 10. That one was 7.2 out of 10. So that is...
Well, you could feel it. You could feel the quality.
1% better.
That's what I keep telling the women.
What does that mean?
Don't know. Number 7!
Number 7. Mistaken Identity. Now.
Oh, God.
Season 8, Episode 11. This is from 1985. I need to send you the IMDb picture for this.
He's got an eye patch and a false nose on.
He looks like, you know, the Brass Eye special where they keep cutting away from Mark Heap's picture and back to it again and it's more and more...
It's Sidney that. Cook.
That's the one.
Right.
So, to his horror, Terry sees that he is the double of a handbag thief known as the Granny Grabber. And his picture is on the front page of the paper.
The Granny Grabber. That's not okay.
Although he goes to the police station to explain matters, he has to attend a meeting and goes in disguise. So that's what the disguise will be. That. However... On the drive home, he is stopped by police for a faulty light and his disguise falls off, leading to his arrest.
His balls fall off and his trousers fall down.
I would arrest him for going around dressed with a big false nose and an eye patch and a toothbrush moustache rather than...
Yeah. 6.
Number 6, Swing Time. We're up to 7.4 out of 10, Ben.
This is the one where he gets a hold of his shorts, isn't it? And he starts doing his... He's clocking pressing. Bing bong.
So
it's 6 o'clock.
Despite being a poor golfer, Terry gets roped in for a golfing weekend along with Malcolm and Colonel Culpepper.
Oh, my favourite.
Of course.
He was the best one.
It wasn't even.
He murdered Miss White with the.
He tries to hide in his room, he's eventually forced to play in a foursome. However, his cheap golfing equipment falls apart and the colonel gets so drunk the game has to be abandoned. June and Beatty, on the other hand, prove to be expert at the game. Not like you thought.
I thought women were the inferior species, it turns out.
Certainly the preceding 4 seasons of Terry and June wouldn't have helped. Number 5, The Christmas Show, also 7.4 out of 10. This is from 1980, Season 2, Episode 7.
I am familiar with this one because someone I know wrote a book about 80s Christmas television who may have reviewed this episode.
Ah, never heard of him.
So I can tell you exactly what this episode is about.
Go on then.
Malcolm turns up with a fur coat.
Right.
And says to Terry, please hide this because I don't want my wife finding out. Mm-hmm. And of course, June finds it and thinks it's for her. And then it's not for her. And then she gets really upset. Like really upset about it. And it's understandably. And he goes, no, I didn't. No, it's not for you. It is. And then he gives it to his wife. And his wife goes, thanks. Cheers. thanks.
That's half an hour. Brilliant.
It is half an hour. The thing is, there's like about half of the episode is just them talking, and it's quite good back and forth, I recall. Quite fun, you know, like realistic banter. But then suddenly, like, Malcolm comes and it's like, whoops, a horny, there goes my trousers, here comes the vicar. It's like they've gone, oh shit, there's been too much actual comedy in this, quick, ratchet up the nonsense. So that is the only episode I can tell you anything about from Terry and Tim.
Well, and it's halfway through our list, Ben, and it's another 7.4, as I say. It's no better than Swing Time. No better.
I have to say, I'd have definitely put it on the 7.2 to 7.5 average ratio. Four!
Number four, Age Before Beauty. This is a 1987 one, so season 9, episode 1. After a couple of Boy Scouts and an old lady have tried to help him across the road, Terry fears that he is looking old. And? Mm-hmm. What do you think he does?
Does he do keep fit?
He adopts a fitness regime.
Oh.
It gets better. So Dennis suggests that he tries wearing a corset to keep him in. June finds the whole exercise ridiculous, and if you can guess what she does to show him how foolish he is being, Ben, I will give you a pound.
I assume she doesn't do anything sexual, because that would be, well, entertaining for a start.
No.
I don't know. They're gone.
That's right.
Dying.
That's right. Dressing as a punk. This is 1987.
Well, yeah, of course, it's got to seep through to Surbiton. You know, it's got to... Punk only got to the suburbs in 1984, you know. Three?
Number three. Right, so the last three were all 7.4 out of 10. This one is 2% better, 7.6. This is another Series 9 one. This is Of Human Bondage.
So this is the one where W. Somerset Maugham guest role an episode...
No, sadly not. No, so, no. Terry gets a call to say that his late uncle's premium bond, left to him in his will, has won £250,000. After initially wanting to keep his win a secret, he gets drunk at the office and lets it slip, as a result of which, he and June are beset by people wanting to share in their fortune. Needless to say, his luck does not last, though he does win the first prize in Mrs. Dunwoody's raffle. I don't know what that means.
So, he wins something.
Well, yeah.
But then... He doesn't win anything else.
Apparently not.
But he still has £250,000.
I don't know what to tell you. This is... I'm gonna check an alternative episode guide and see... Oh, right. They are left with just £5 when they discover the winning bond is no longer valid. So that... When we say his luck does not last, what we mean is the thing that he thought he had won, he has failed to win.
So I was thinking like that is like the end episode. Like, oh, that is the final...
That is the second to last episode.
So that would have been really cruel to make a millionaire.
Really would.
A quarter millionaire. And then go, oh, no, you're not. So what is at number two?
At number two, we have The Family Way, and this is the final episode.
Oh, okay. Big revelations, I assume. Dramatic conclusions, storylines all wrapped up.
Okay, so Terry spends £17 at the church fete trying to win a goldfish, and spends another £25 on a bigger tank and accessories, including a plastic shipwreck, while June pressurises him into getting a cleaning lady. The Medford's daughter Wendy turns up thinking she may be pregnant, there we go, and is now worried...
What?
Yeah, she's got they had a daughter, apparently, and is worried how her husband Roger will take the news. The cleaner, Mrs. Bunce, with her ear to the door, mishears the conversation and tells Beattie that June is pregnant. Beattie rings Malcolm at work to tell him the news, and a confused conversation follows in which Malcolm, Miss Fennel and Sir Dennis are talking about June being pregnant while Terry thinks they're talking about his pregnant fish. And that is the end of Terry and June. That's it.
Wow. And then he gets home and she's not pregnant and he's like... Well, we haven't had sex for 17 years. So. Because I am literally incapable due to all them back injuries from falling through the sun lounge.
And all those cars are crashed.
And there's one episode which is above that?
Yes, but it's also 7.8, but I don't know what the fraction is. Mm.
Okay, number one.
Number one.
The best Terry and June episode as voted for by Ian Net Database Movies.
Christmas with Terry and June, Season 5, Episode 7. So, due to a series of misunderstandings, that should be the start of every...
I mean, it should be called that.
series of misunderstandings. Sir Dennis, Miss Fennel, and Malcolm and Beattie all believe erroneously that Terry and June have invited them for Christmas dinner and all turn up at the house. Sir Dennis gives a speech, boring everyone with his war stories. Miss Fennel gets tiddly and loses the novelty from her cracker, and nobody seems to understand Terry's mimes when they play charades.
God, no, I was doing a kick up the 80s.
All in all, the Medfords are glad when the day is over. This one, Ben, rated PG.
Maybe mime Salo or something.
I don't think you could get a PG even out of a mime of Salo. I really don't. So yeah, that's it. That is the best episode of Terry and June that there has ever been or ever will be, because there won't be any more because everyone in it is dead.
Correct.
Wake up, vampire. Oh, wow.
I've just woken from the most miraculous dream.
Mm-hmm.
And you were there? And the list of people there concludes at that.
Fair.
I dreamt the entire episode. Oh, what an unusual scenario.
As a narrative device, it has never been used before.
By the way, if anyone says a hug a munchkin off a tree, it's a lie. It didn't happen.
I mean, the good news is that this, the next step for you is to go and be violently electrocuted, so...
Hot diggity dog, I'm coming home in a box! Until next time, I have been Electro Ben Baker.
And I have been all of the Wheelers.
Never sleep again! Goodbye!
Bye! Have you fallen over?
This, 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 this